we're discussing how 911 calls are delivered and handled and the work of 911 operators. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This conversation was suggested by Bob from Richland Center. So thank you, Bob. Dozens of 911 call centers in our state are in the midst of upgrading their systems to what's known as Next Gen 911. It's a digital platform that offers new GPS capabilities for coordination. Have you ever had to dial 911? What do you remember about the call you had with the operator? What questions do you have about how the system works? It's 800-642-1234. Paul Logan is Training and Standards Manager for Dane County 911. Paul, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks, Kate.
Good morning. Well, take us on a tour first, if you will, into a call center, what it looks like, what your setup is.
Well, it's in our particular case, we have 21 workstations in our call center. Each workstation has a minimum of six computer monitors, numerous keyboards, numerous mice, and it allows our communicators, that's the job title for our frontline folks, and allows them to have access to numerous different systems at each workstation.
How has it been in the pandemic with your communicators? How have you managed?
Well, it's been a challenging, stressful year for the communicators. Most county employees here in Dane County, of course, are working remote. And while we can touch on that, we do actually have some folks working remote, but they've pretty much been here throughout the pandemic, throughout the civil unrest that was taking place in Madison. We've been wearing masks here in the communication center since last March or April, so almost a year now, or more than a year. And it's been stressful. It's been very stressful. We've actually had some attrition this year that we haven't seen in the last few years.
Yeah, and you mentioned attrition. That is a problem that plagues, 911 centers straight across the country. Attrition, low pay, high stress. What are you seeing?
Attrition typically across the country runs close to 20% annually.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of turnover. We're blessed in Dane County that our county board and our elected officials value our service. I think we're paid very well. We're probably, with our pay and benefits package, we're probably some of the highest paid dispatchers, telecommunicators in the state, and even beyond. We're blessed.
One statistic I came across from Nina, your professional organization, says it takes 6 months to train a 911 dispatch professional at a cost of up to $200,000. Is that the reality, to train someone up?
That is the reality, and in some cases maybe a low estimate.
Wow.
We have a very complicated system. Dane County is 1,000 square miles. And we provide service to the vast majority of police, fire, and EMS in that county. And so geography and knowing the different agencies and then learning all of our technical systems, it's very challenging, and it does take a long time. And it's a job that not everybody can do. It takes a very special person. And so we work very hard to train our folks and keep them trained and keep them up to date. But yes, it's very challenging and it takes a while.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Paul Logan of Dane County 911. He's the Training and Standards Manager. You can join in. Have you ever had to dial 911 due to an emergency? What do you remember about the conversation you had with the communicator? Did you remain calm? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Paul, let's look further at how the system works. When someone dials 911, how does the system know which call center in Wisconsin to connect to?
Well, that's a great question. You mentioned the term next generation 911. One thing that we have to keep in mind right now is throughout Wisconsin, although your cell phone is a very powerful tool and knows where you are, and Uber can find you, and Domino's can deliver a pizza right to your house. When you pick up your phone and dial 911, even your cell phone, your call is being delivered to 911 centers on 1960s copper wire.
Mm.
And so we don't get a lot of the rich data that Uber and other commercial providers are getting through the cell network. So you pick up your phone, you dial 911. If it's on your home phone, it goes through your local exchange carrier to a central office. If it is obviously on your wireless phone, it hits the nearest tower. Then it's directed based on the tower location largely. And then it's gone to the central office. Then there's a series of what they call selective routers around the state of Wisconsin. And so it's mainly by zip code and geographic areas that are set up in advance with the 911 centers and the telephone service providers to be delivered, which is why many times if you're on the interstate and you dial 911, you might not get the right county. You might get a different county. So, for instance, in Dane County, if you're coming south on Highway 12 out of Sauk City and you're on the Springfield Hill, you dial 911, Iowa County tends to get calls because that's just where it hits. And it's not an exact science. We're hoping that next generation 911, being an IP network in the sky, or in the cloud rather, we hope will should help routing better.
Yeah, where are call centers at in transforming their systems, upgrading their systems to next gen 911?
So my understanding is that most of our PSAPs in Wisconsin, our public safety answering points, are ready. It's really we're waiting on the state of Wisconsin currently, the Office of Emergency Communications, which is falls under the Department of Military Affairs, is in the process of negotiating a contract for an ESINET or an Emergency Services IP network that once they get that done and that contract completed and the service turned on, most of us should be able to simply plug in and be on an ESINET and have the beginnings. It's more than just the ESINET, but that is the backbone of the next generation 911.
And from what I understand, is this system would allow much more communication and cooperation between different agencies and platforms and kind of bringing them all together?
Yes. One of the big benefits, and it's different for an agency like ours where we're so big, us, Milwaukee, Waukesha. What it allows largely for, especially with smaller agencies that have, you know, one or two or three dispatchers, it allows calls to be rerouted and overflowed. And if an agency, due to some internal disaster, can't answer calls, to easily be rerouted. Now, we would have that capability, but the truth of the matter is there's no one place that could answer all our calls.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of it gives you a little bit more of a triage effect.
It could potentially allow calls to be routed differently.
Uh-huh, yeah. If you're just joining us, we're breaking down how 911 call centers work with Paul Logan. He works in the Department of Public Safety Communications with Dane County 911. Are you a 911 operator? How long have you been doing this work? What is it like inside your call center? How have you been doing with the stress of the pandemic? How do you remain calm in an emergency or when it's very busy? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Paul Logan here on the Ideas Network. The role of the 911 dispatcher has evolved. It involves life-saving measures and knowledge. We're talking about the work inside call centers and the profession of 911 communicators here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to NENA, the National Emergency Number Association, an estimated 240 million calls are made to 911 each year. In many areas, 80% or more are from wireless devices. What questions do you have about how the system works? What do you need to understand? Do you know where your community is at with upgrading to next-gen 911? Join in 800-642-1234. Paul Logan is training and standards manager for Dane County 911. He stays with us. Judy is joining us from Fond du Lac. Hi, Judy. What would you like to share?
Well, I remember I was hiding from my abuser, and I called 911 to get help, and I used the pizza line that I was trying to order a pizza. And thank God the dispatcher caught on and sent help.
Oh, my goodness. Judy, thank you. How are you today? How was that call?
Right now I moved, and I'm in an undisclosed location for safety reasons. So it was terrifying.
Paul, what do you do in those situations?
Well, first of all, I just like to, there's no standard line or code. There's nothing like that. I know it's urban legend and urban myths, and we see it on social media now and then, but there's no such thing. We don't train anybody for that. What we train our folks for is to listen for things that are unusual. We answer phones in the same way each time. We ask the same questions. Tell me the address of the emergency. Tell me your phone number. What's your name? Tell me exactly what happened. And if at one of those points somebody said something that is like so bizarre or unusual, that is going to get the call taker, the dispatcher, to probably change their line of questioning and start asking some yes or no questions. Are you free to talk to me? Is there somebody else there? Are you in danger? So that, I just want to get it clear that there's no sort of nationwide code about ordering a pizza, and I hear it all the time, but it's just not the case.
So when your communicator is going through those questions, and they're very specific questions, and I'm sure you have a lot of different flows of questions, how do you teach that and what they should be listening for?
Sure, that's a great question. Active listening is the term that is widely used in our industry, and it's really just more about words. It's listening for background noises when you're on the phone. It's amazing. I mean, in my career, I've heard gunshots and people, car crashes and doors being slammed and walls being punched, all of those different things that can happen. We teach them to listen for tone of voice. We're obviously with communications, being on the radio, being on the telephone, we don't have the luxury of body language and eye contact. So we really have to, we start off at a disadvantage with only words and tone of voice to do the majority of our communicating. So we train to listen for tone of voice and changes in tone of voice. But active listening is a big part of how we train people.
Yeah. I would imagine a skill that becomes better over time.
It absolutely is. You talked about 6 months. I would argue that a communicator or a telecommunicator is not, it's like anything else. I would say that being a telecommunicator, especially call taking, becomes more art than science, and it definitely develops and continues to get better over time with more experience and more reps and more different kinds of calls and more quality assurance, because we have a very robust quality assurance program where we review calls and provide feedback. And with all of that, then yes, you can get better over time.
Operators, the communicators, also delivering some life-saving instructions over the phone.
Absolutely. We started in 2000 with a system called the medical priority dispatch system, and it had started out. We continued with it through. We are a nationally or internationally accredited center of excellence for our use of that protocol. We train, every communicator gets 3 days of training and then lots of days of practice. It's trained by at the very least, a paramedic. For many years, we had a ER doctor that trained our folks. Currently, we do have an ER doctor who's our medical director, who oversees that program. And we, every year, our folks are credited with saving, you know, 20 lives, providing CPR instructions and helping to, you know, save the life of 20 plus or minus people every year. And that's just the folks that actually, you know, walk out of the hospital.
Mm. You know, there is legislation proposed in Congress to reclassify 911 operators as a protective service classification, which would group them with, you know, police and fire. How do you feel about that?
It's good. I mean, quite honestly, though, other than sort of symbolic, it doesn't really change much. They still don't have protected retirement. Communicators still have to work. You know, police officers and firefighters can retire at 50. Communicators, dispatchers, you know, have to work until they can retire. That might be 60 or 62. So it's a good, I think, from a morale and professionalism standpoint, I think it's good. It's a positive step. It means that somebody's paying attention. But we still have our folks that, you know, have to endure a lot. I mean, by the time the police and firefighters and EMS get to a scene of the call, oftentimes, not always, the worst of it is over. But the dispatcher, I mean, we hear everything. Mm-hmm. We hear the mother crying as she's, you know, pulling her baby out of the bathtub. And it's mm-hmm. a horrible thing to say. But many of my coworkers across the country listen to that day in and day out. You know,
how do they deal with that trauma? Where does that go?
It's hard. We are, again, blessed. We have internally here, the county has given us resources. We have a great employee assistance program. We have contract with a company out of Milwaukee that specializes. It's the same company that, like, the police department and the sheriff's department use. They provide critical incident stress debriefing. They provide critical incident defusings. They have mental health professionals on staff. We also have a peer support team right here. We have communicators and supervisors that are trained in peer support and doing these defusings and recognizing when someone needs to be referred to a mental health professional. We have a chaplain, access to a chaplain through our peer support team. But it's tough. We have folks, you know, we're there. We're ear witnesses to so many things. Mm. And sometimes people have to leave the profession because it just gets to be too much. PTSD, there's another thing about, you know, reclassifying dispatchers. The state earlier this year had legislation passed about a PTSD treatment and recognition for police and fire. Dispatchers were not included in that legislation.
I'm going to just reintroduce you here for a moment. Paul Logan is training and standards manager for Dane County 911. Ken in Dodgeville has a question. Ken, hi.
Hi, just wanted to give a shout out to Paul and the fantastic work that all the communicators do and what he does for Dane County. And really, not necessarily a question, but just a point to reiterate the importance of the work that communicators do. Most people don't know that the vast majority of fire, EMS, and law enforcement calls begin and end with what we say in the chair with that dispatcher. And the fact that you can get you know, the services that you need directly to your door in the time of need depends on that person sitting in the chair and the amount of work that goes into it. So the work that they do is just phenomenal. And because we don't drive the big fancy trucks and we're not seen on the street, sometimes they're forgotten. So shows like this and opportunities are fantastic. And thank Paul for his time.
Yeah, and Ken, thank you. You work in communications. How long have you been doing this?
So I previously worked in communication. Now I'm in admission, so I do have some ties with training related to dispatch. And it's tough. Definitely a profession or a specific individual.
Ken, thank you for calling in. Paul, what is the next step for this profession? Where do you see it headed?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question, and I think about that often, especially as I sort of come to the end of my my run. I've been in the business more than 30 years, but it's amazing. I mean, in the mid 90s, I started working for Dane County in 1993 after being on the East Coast doing the business for about 4 years, and you know, pre cell phones. You know, there was a crash on the interstate, or there was a crash on the Beltline, and someone had to get off the highway and find a payphone or somebody with a CB radio. So we might get one call about a crash, and then cell phones come, and now, you know, we can get 20 or 30 calls about a major crash or incident. But now I'm really kind of worried, especially as next generation 911 comes and the potential for callers to send text messages and photographs. We can already send text messages, but photographs.
Yeah, and we'll check in with you on that. Thank you for joining us. Paul Logan is Training and Standards Manager for Dane County 911. News update is next on the Ideas Network.